हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Lesson 12. But Sri Krishna himself is the absolute personality of Godhead. 7-7. O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. So it means then the Brahman and Paramatma features are resting on Krishna. Right? So he's the supreme absolute truth. There's nothing higher than him as a person, that aspect. Okay, the absolute truth is the supreme person, the cause of all causes. There's a common controversy over whether the supreme absolute truth is personal or impersonal. As far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, the absolute truth is the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And this is confirmed in every step. In this verse, in particular, it is stressed that the absolute truth is a person. That the personality of Godhead is the supreme absolute truth is also the affirmation of the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha. That this, the supreme absolute truth, personality of Godhead, is Lord Krishna, who is the primeval Lord, the reservoir of all pleasure, Govinda, and the eternal form of complete bliss and knowledge. These authorities leave no doubt that the absolute truth is the supreme person, the cause of all causes. Okay, Vritti, since the Lord is the cause of all causes, it is illogical to assume that there is something independent from him. Right, so he's in control of everything. And also here is where we say common controversy. That we can take a common mean it's you know, general, but also common mean that it's not something very special. Right?
Low class.
Yeah, it's just, you know, ordinary. That some people would think that, you know, that the Lord's impersonal or things like that. Right, so that concludes then that Krishna is the supreme person, right? So this was what are we dealing in? Adhikara 2. We're on lesson, we just finished lesson 12. So that means the second Adhikara, which is Bhagavad Gita is the cream of all Vedic literatures. The Puranas, Upanishads, the Sri Krishna, the absolute person of Godhead, reveals himself as he is in the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, and so that we've dealt with all three levels of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavad Gita is Sri Krishna is recognized by Arjuna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only on the strength of the authoritative recognition of the great sages and sages, but also on his own transcendental personal experience as a constant friend and companion of Krishna. Lesson 6, for the materialist, Krishna is perceived in the impersonal display of the material energy. Right, so they're perceiving him there, but not knowing it's him, so they're an illusion. But still, the perception, any perception anyone has of anything, they're still perceiving Krishna. Because the dead matter doesn't have any significance. Right, because you don't look at something if it doesn't have some interest. It's not looking attractive. You know what I'm saying? There's so many things out here, but one will only look at something that catches your attention. Right? So that means even the materialist is still only being attracted by Krishna, right? Then the whole material existence is maintained by his material energy and he keeps watch over it by his plenary portion known as Paramatma, right? And Sri Krishna, his personal feature, eternally enjoys in the transcendental realm. So here you get Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, right? 6, yeah. 7, and 8. Then, so this is just what's happening. It means materialists are seeing the impersonal display, the whole material creation is maintained and watched over by the Supersoul, and he and his personal features in the spiritual realm. Right? Then, he's perceived, lesson 9, Krishna is perceived by the transcendentalist in his three transcendental features, namely, 1, impersonal Brahman, 2, his plenary portion, Paramatma, and 3, Purushottama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now is how the devotees will see.
Mm.
Now we go through, impersonal Brahman is his transcendental effulgence, comprised of spiritual rays. Because otherwise, the materialist just sees material energy. They don't actually understand it's the Brahman, effulgence of Krishna, that makes their material energy attractive. Right? Then Paramatma is the plenary portion, who pervades the entire existence. You know, so how he does that. And then, but Sri Krishna himself is the absolute personality of Godhead. Right? So now we go into Adhikarna 3. Sri Krishna can expand himself by his material, spiritual, and marginal energies. Therefore, it is a mistake to conclude that the material world evolves out of its own energy. Right? Because now we've established him. Now, the next is, he is the source of energies. Right?
Can I just ask one question?
Yes.
On this Adhikarna 2, we're going through Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan in 6, 7, and 8.
Right.
And then again in 10, 11,
9,
12.
9, 10, 11, 12.
The 9 seems to be like a summary of... Or
yeah, it's just presenting now the transcendental.
Okay, so from the transcendental point of view, lesson 10, 11, and 12 deal with the same.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same, but you see here is that when you're saying impersonal Brahman is the transcendental effulgence comprised of spiritual rays, but here you're saying... For the materialist, Krishna is perceived in the impersonal display, but you don't get into what is Brahman and everything. You know, you haven't explained what is Brahman.
Yeah.
Right? You haven't. All you say is that they're seeing through here, Paramatma controls, and then Krishna is somewhere else. Right? So that's how it'll be perceived of here. But if you look at it from the spiritual process, then Krishna, everything is Brahman. You're situated on that. Then Krishna, through Paramatma, is controlling all this.
Mm.
You know, so therefore, it's not so important how he's pervaded it, more how he controls it. But even that's not as important as he is the person.
Mm.
Right? So it's not that he's far away. He's always attainable. He's always there because it's out of affection that he is here and maintains everything. Right? Otherwise, it's always, we're here and God's very far away.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, so then we'll...
This common, let's say, understanding that we are here and God is somewhere far away.
Yes.
It comes from the impersonal understanding or misunderstanding.
It would be more of a misunderstanding. It means it's true, but at the same time as there is the element that, how you say it? Means he's expanded as everything, so there's nothing independent. It's not that we're here and there's no God or anything like that. No, God's in everything here. It's just that there may be nobody has any consciousness of God, therefore you'll say this is, you know, a godless place or like that. You know what I'm saying? It means that the, how you say, we will look at it from our perception, so that perception is also given. But the point is God is pervading everything. He's controlling everything. And he's a person. So since it's all his energy, that means he can expand. He expands through any of it. That means there's no question that he's not present or not approachable. Right? Because we'll say he's so far away, so how does he hear the prayers, you know, stuff like that. So there's no such thing. The persons around us may be lacking in God consciousness, so it'll give that feeling or appearance of a lack of something. But you know what I'm saying? But it's just their consciousness, that's all. Otherwise God's always present. He's always perceivable.
His feature is Paramatma.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's only as Paramatma because he's we're not interacting with him as Bhagavan. He interacts with us. Means we're discussing that Paramatma is Bhagavan, but he deals with us in the office of Paramatma. Because Kiradaksha Vishnu, he has this planet and he's there with all his associates and everything's going on. But because we only deal with him as the controller of the creation, he only responds as the controller of the creation. Does that make sense? Like, you have a person standing there, and then you figure out that, okay, he's some big guy. So you go up to him and start talking to him as that big guy. So how will he respond as the big guy? But if it's just you start, you're in the airport, and there's a little spot over, there's a seat empty. And you notice you go over and sit down, and then there's you, hey, aren't you this guy? Like that. And so then you could just interact with him based on that. You could just sit down and start a conversation, and he's just a nice guy. You're interacting, it has nothing to do with him being a celebrity. Saying that's the person. The person as an occupation does something that makes him a celebrity. But there's still a person. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the point. It's when we deal with Krishna simply as, the controller of the creation, then he responds just as the controller of the creation.
So we take it further if we pray to the Lord, if the person service, then it means we are dealing directly with Bhagavan.
Yeah. The point is, Paramatma is Bhagavan, but he only reciprocates with us as Paramatma because that's all we're seeing him as. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so then in Adhikarna 3, then Sri Krishna can expand himself by his personal, by his material, spiritual, marginal energies. By his material energy, he creates this material world made up of earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and ego. By his spiritual energy, he expands himself as Brahman, Paramatma, and the personality of Godhead, as above mentioned. And by his marginal energies, he expands himself as different living beings. Right? Lesson 14. It is a mistake, therefore, to conclude that the material world evolves out of its own energy. It is the energy of Sri Krishna. Right? Because that's how all materialists will view the material world, right? Whether they're karmis or jnanis, right? They think that life has come from matter, right? Like that, because the one is that it's all forms and all activities are done by life, so consciousness must have come there, right? The guy pushes the button, and it's a very, very big, how you say. We have so many different things connected together. So there's so many different computer networks and all that, but you connect them all together. Mm. Right? But it's just electricity, right? Moving through things, and because we put a program on it, then it registers one or zero. Right? But there's this idea, it's so big that then it becomes self-aware, right? Isn't it? And then it decides that, well, the man pushed the yes button, they could push the no button, so you have to get rid of mankind, right? Yes. Right? Or, you send out this little thing out into space to collect information, and it gets so far out, it goes across the whole universe and collects so much information, it becomes self-aware. And so now it's coming back. Yes. To meet its creator.
Yes.
Right?
Sounds good.
Stupid, right? Yeah. I mean, it sounds great. Means that there's franchises on this. Yeah. Not even just singular movies. Franchises.
Star Trek.
Yeah. The second one, Star Trek, there's more going on. So they always use these things. It's just somehow or another, it just, if it becomes great enough, it becomes alive. So how is it that this body
which is so minor, is so conscious. But the other has to know, you know, be everything, everywhere. Then it becomes, you know, it's like, it's inconsistent. You know what I'm saying? The bug is more conscious than your computer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the thing is it's not thought out very nice. So this is the materialist, and you work on all these things, right? And because then it comes from matter, then anything can happen. You know what I'm saying? It's not a matter of that because there's a soul, therefore there's life. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So you come up with all these amazingly absurd ideas. But because no one actually knows what the soul is, then everyone buys it.
It seems like if you just say millions of years, then people just, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, it's somehow, you know, this rock turned into Einstein. Yeah. It took a few billion years, but it happened.
Yeah.
Like that. So does this mean this? So it's not monkey. This is our ancestor.
Yes.
See the nose.
Hey, there.
Bit of a Roman nose, so maybe it's not exactly the right stone, right? Guess something with a bit more of a, more of, you know, the, more of a Middle Eastern nose or something. You know?
So Krishna, he's a supreme person, and he likes to be personal.
Yes.
So where is this tendency coming from to be impersonal in a living entity?
Let us say the kids...
Why everybody likes those movies about all this kind of stuff?
Because what does it leave open? What does it give an opening for? We can be the controller and enjoy.
Independence.
Yeah, that's all. So because if you came along and, you know, God's in control and this and that, then it's kind of, fun's over. You know, now you have to get down and get to work.
Yeah.
Yes.
It looks like being personal means to be conscious of others, and this is it.
Yeah, conscious of others, but at the same time, as it's only really personal if you're conscious of others, not for yourself.
Right.
Because in the material platform, we're still conscious of others, and it can be in, you know, with, you know, all good intention, all noble qualities, but it's still in connection with ourself. Right? You know what I'm saying? The person is very nice, let's say, to the poor people, because he identifies himself as someone who's charitable. If he didn't identify as charitable, he wouldn't necessarily be that nice to the poor people. You understand? It still goes back to your own self-identity. So the problem is we're trying to maintain an identity that's separate from the Lord. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so that's the...
Can we say that impersonalism gives it? He's gonna find, gives a person idea of becoming transcendental without touching on the ego.
Means without them having to remove their ego.
Yeah.
You put because I'm the controller. It means your cultural ego. You have to work on. If you're going to elevate yourself, there has to be some adjustment in the cultural ego. But the primary aspect of ego, you know, the Purusha Bhav, that I'm the controller and enjoyer, that it never gets rid of. So all materialism never deals with that. Though they may deal with more external, I mean, it's attachment to the material objects, or less, or more dealing with knowledge, or less. But they never touch on that primary,
real false ego.
Yeah, the real false ego.
Original.
The original, yes. False ego. So therefore, you know, and how you say... And false ego is incorrect, so what's incorrect is not pious, it's impious. So the original impiety. Right? The original sin. Right. So they never deal with the actual the original sin. Because they don't, it's not recognized that it's there. Because in there is that the point is that they did something that wasn't approved. But why would they do something that's not approved? Mm. That's not dealt with. It's just they did something wrong, therefore they, you know, that you're given the boot. Right? Well, that's it.
Interesting that then everybody else doing something that is not right, something that's wrong.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks about it.
No.
That's the point.
Yeah. Well, all these things, certain common things no one thinks about, like, you know, Adam and Eve are the first, right? And then they have their sons, Cain and Abel. Right. Who did Cain and Abel marry?
Oh, but they're not considered the people, the Aborigines.
Aha. Yeah, but the point is if the original people, where did the tribals come from? I see, it's one of those is that they don't think about it because it's not worth thinking about it. You know, okay, so then we're going by what Krishna says here. So, but what need is there for all this detailed knowledge? Who cares? They're aborigines.
It's a very good verse to have.
But then the question is, so that means that Adam and Eve and their sons and who they married and that whole thing, none of them were Jewish. Because Cain and Abel's wives were not Jewish, so that means their children were not Jewish. So it's not actually until Abraham that they became Jewish, so it doesn't really matter.
Is Abraham no Jewish?
Wow.
That's too far out.
No. But what's so far out is just the solidness of the false ego. It's just so
it's impressive.
Impressive, yeah. Just so, you know.
Gotta hand it.
Yeah, no, you have to. That's serious false ego.
Alright. I read somewhere that the original story of Adam and Eve was actually found in the Bhavishya Purana.
That's there. Havaneva and Adama.
And it's meant to explain about Mleccha culture or something?
They're the beginning of the Mleccha. See, because before that, one king, his father was killed by the Mleccha's. He was the king. And must have been the crown prince, his father, as the king was killed by a bunch of Mleccha tribes. So he did a Mleccha Yajna. And so all the Mleccha's of the world were, you know, drawn into that Yajna and burnt up. So there were no more Mleccha's, right? So then when Kali Yuga comes, then it's a problem because Kali Raj works with Mleccha's, not with Aryans. So you have to work with Mleccha's. You know, you have to have some... You know, you have to have some potential stock
to work
here.
With.
Yeah, you know, otherwise it's just, you know, there's nothing here to work with, you know.
Oh, so that's the original of the Jews.
So that's the original of the people that
lived.
Not
the legends.
Yeah.
So that's the...
So that's they're only going back to that history. Yeah. So then, in Katsyapa's area where he, as a sage, you know, the Caspian Sea, Katsyapa, mm-hmm. So in that area there, then the kingdom was there. At some point in that kingdom in the line, one of the kings, you know, like you have in Bhagavatam, I think it's in Bhagavatam, where the king had gained some, well, maybe not, it's some other problem. The king, by just dealing with his kingdom and taxes and everything, had taken on so much sin of the people that he turned black, right? And somehow another... You know, there was not that, they didn't have the saying, black is beautiful then. So they didn't appreciate it. You know, seeing that he wasn't black before that. So then they did a yajna and took all the sin out of the king. And in this case, placed it in a tree.
Okay.
Right? Because in this other time, oh, that's the origin of, I mean, that's the, it was one connected to Prushupta. Another time it happened, they had taken the sin and placed it into a solid gold deity, quite big. You know, enough you could carry it, but it was, you know, substantial. So that, and the idea was is then whoever, the whatever Brahmin, you know, whoever won it could take this deity, but then along with it comes the sin, right? So many Brahmins came forward, and then when they chanted the mantras and transferred the sin from the king, and you know, solid gold, shiny, and when they transfer it to the that deity, the deity just turned black, just dull black. And then when all the Brahmins saw that, they just said, forget this, and then they walked off. Right? You know, now the king is back again and is bright effulgent like this. So then, but one Brahmin was so poor that he had no alternative. So he went and picked up the deity. As soon as he touched the deity, and this huge demon came out of the deity and started chasing him. So he went running to, I guess, where there was some, to the river or something, did Achma, and then chanted Purushashukta. And when he did that, then the Purushashukta personified then killed the demon. Then he went back and picked up the deity and went home. Yeah, so the same kind of thing was done, and they took the sin and placed it into a tree. So that's why it was the forbidden tree. Because all the sin was there. So if you ate the fruit from the tree, you'd get the sin. Right? And so then Kaliraj, in the form of a snake, right? You know, then he was there, and then telling, you know, Havaneva about how, you know, why is it they tell you can't eat from this tree, blah, this, that, they're just, it's really nice, that's why they're telling you, they want to keep it for themselves. So he was the prince, and I guess this was the princess of the kingdom.
Okay.
Right? And so then somehow or another she got convinced and all that, and then when they ate the fruit, they took on all the sin. Because they had all that sin, then they didn't, you know, it wasn't supposed to, then I guess they said they're not going to be the, you know, crown prince or this or that, you know. So then they left. So then they became the for Kali Yuga, the original Malechas. So we say, when we're saying that they were the original man and woman, no, they weren't. They were already man and woman, tons of them. They were the original Malechas.
They stopped being men and women.
Yeah. So they were the original Malechas.
Okay.
Like that. Slight twist on the story. So those, somehow or another, those parts are left out. You know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, the people will feel bad, you know. But that's the, you know, more full story, right? So then from there, then they went south, and then, you know, then, what do you call it? And then, so this whole thing of the beginning of civilization means the beginning of the Malechas civilization. Yeah. Like that. Cause so that Fertile Crescent was where all the Malechas set up. Yeah. Right. Like that. So I don't know if that makes it feel any better or worse. So now you can see why they reduced the whole thing down to, you know, one and a third pages, you know, and one page is all on the creation. So this is that part just kind of gets finessed. Right? Yes.
And which scripture is this
called? That's Bhavishya Purana. Bhavishya. Bhavishya means future. So all Puranas tell, you know, the ancient history, the present, the future. Right? So it's just, it puts more emphasis on the future than it does on, you know, it has a very big amount in the future. So it tells, it goes down into everything. It even talks about Lord Chaitanya and
also,
and Akbar and
Muslims.
You know, yeah, it talks about it. I mean, it talks about everything. So Rupa, I think there's four editions. Rupa Goswami authorized one of them, but which one I don't know. But he authorized one of them. But it's not the stuff you go around talking about.
Yeah, certain places.
Yes.
Definitely not.
Well, you get it from both sides, you know. Like that. But, you know, yeah. Anyone who would somehow or another consider that their ancient roots would go back to Ur, they would have a problem with this story.
Yeah.
Okay. So we.
It's interesting to what the name remained, Adam.
Yeah.
Adam means, in Hebrew, still means a human being.
Yeah, well, here Adhama means fallen.
Yeah, most of the mankind.
Yeah, but still human. He's the lowest, but he's still human.
Check.
Like that.
Good.
Lower than that, that's a monkey, but he's not. He's a human. Yeah. So that's it there. That's what I'm looking at here. Yeah, because you don't hear of all these other, you know, I'm saying, you know, even though they were the patriarchs, sometimes they were a bit rough and ready. But that's the thing about it, is that at least they were accommodating to these things. You know, like that. Mm. Somehow or another, once it got into Europe, then there was an intolerance of anything wrong, which is strange. But you find that there's much more. Means within their own group, then there's a great amount of tolerance, right? In both those who maintain that Central Asian, Middle Eastern culture, but then somehow when it transferred into the Western culture, then there was not a tolerance amongst themselves, let alone others. So, so everybody was a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Degradation of consciousness, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So 7-4. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight constitute my separated material energies. Material science is ignorant of the source of the material elements. In the material energy, the principal manifestations are eight, as above mentioned. Out of these, the first five manifestations, namely earth, water, fire, air, and sky, are called the five gigantic creations, or the gross creations, the Mahabhutas, you know, the great, within which the five sense objects are included. Because the senses, the sense objects are made out of these, but they function on one in particular. Right, like sight, and then form, then that comes from fire, right? So that means the eyes work on fire. It's bile that makes the eyes. That's why if someone's liver is bad, their eyes go bad. This is a problem with bile, so that means the fire in the body. So there's a problem with their eyes, and there's also a problem with skin. Skin works on, also has that aspect. Right. So, but so the senses will be made out of those five. Right, and the sense objects are made out of those five, and their connection is again through those five. So therefore, you don't have to, in mentioning material energy, have to mention them separately. If you want to break it down, then you have all the aspects. But otherwise, these eight take care of everything, and everything that you see is out of these five. Mm. Yes.
My separate material energies means separate from the world or separate from one another.
Means they're separated in that they function on their own. How do you say? Maya then functions under the Lord's direction, but she's the one taking care of it. So he's not directly involved. He oversees, but he's not directly managing.
So, separate from the Lord.
Yes. But it's not that it's separate, meaning that there's no connection, he has no control. See, that's the fine point, is that if it's non-different from the Lord, then anything can be worshipped. You know, it's like you have that example that Ramakrishna is sitting there and he's making chapatis, right? Cooking chapatis, and a dog comes in and steals one of the chapatis and runs off. And then he's chasing after the dog and saying, wait, I didn't get to put any ghee on the chapatis. Right? Because then, Narayan is everything, so Narayan is also the dog. So therefore, I didn't finish my respect for God as dog by he got a plain chapati instead of one with ghee. Right? So you either get where everything is, so everything's worshipable, non-different, and there's no distinction made. Or it's separated from him and he has no control over it. And so therefore we're in control. You know what I'm saying? So you get both of these, this balance of he oversees it, it's running on his laws, but he doesn't manage it. All it is only staying separate, is he doesn't have to manage it. Maya manages it. Mm-hmm. Like that. So she is separately conscious. Like that. But it's still his energy. Like that. Okay.
Mahabhutas is the five.
It's the five, yeah. Maha means great and Bhutas means elements. So here, the gigantic elements, Prabhupada says. The gigantic elements are the gross creation.
So mind and intelligence, they're subtle.
They're subtle, yeah. They're not Mahabhutas. Like that. Okay. They are called the five gigantic creations, the gross creations, within which the five sense objects are included. They are the manifestations of physical sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. Right? So now they're even saying is that the sense objects, they're actually the manifestations of that. You know what I'm saying? Because when you add in the one thing, then you get this manifestation, but this is what it does. Right? Earth, that's the form, but the activity is it has smell. Right? Or water is the form, but that has taste. Right? So again, you get the form and activity. Right? And then what will be able to apply that activity then is the nose or the tongue or the... Right? But it's also they are also made of these five elements.
Bhuta again means...
Element.
Element, yeah.
Element, yeah.
So, from Mahabhutas, they come as physical sound and touch, and from these five sense objects, that's degradation, she goes?
It's not so much degradation, you have expansion. Because ether then expands as air, it's not actually a degradation, it's still...
Gradation.
Oh, gradation. It's a degradation. He can smell, he's more degraded than so.
Sound and then the sense objects. That's how
it develops. Yes. Because you have the sound that's a sense and then the sense that does it. Means you have earth, then you have from that then there's smell, but then you have to have the nose. Like that. So when you get to when the whole creation comes down, and then the final point is the nose. So then all the culture is all based on the nose. Right? Yeah. So that's therefore the chosen people, because there where how it comes down. It's not, yeah.
Who knows? The nose.
Yes, the nose. Uncle used to say something. Nobody knows what the hose nose knows. Where do you get these things? So I don't know.
Sometimes it's strange what sticks, you know.
Yeah, but it seemed to be a thing of the 50s. It was just crazy. But at the same time, they were so gross, but they were so intellectually absurd.
Yeah.
You know? You know, because it's a very interesting time. I don't know. Okay. Wow. A whole army coming. A battalion. Oh yeah, down there. Okay. They are the manifestations of physical sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. Right, so the physical form of sound, right, will be then ether, right? Mm-hmm. The physical form of touch will be air. The physical form of form will be fire, you know, water, air, like this. Material science comprises these 10 items and nothing more. But the other three items, namely mind, intelligence, false ego, are neglected by the materialists. That they get into them, but they don't really know. They can't define. You bring in a PhD in psychology, he can't define what the mind is.
No.
They'll have some big, long, kind of lengthy, you know, it's all these different things and this, and they kind of put it together and they get a feeling of it. But they can't actually explain it, so it's not really a science.
Similar with the memory, right?
Any of these things. They can't define them. Falsely that can't really define them. Well, we can give like a one sentence definition, you know. So it's just, that's why it says it's actually neglected. Because if we get into that, it only accepts and rejects. Then what are you supposed to accept? What are you supposed to reject? And why is it just do that? So you know, what's proper acceptance and rejection? You know, what's proper analyzation of what's common and what's different? You know, and then what's the identity for? What you identify yourself as something? Why? Mm. You know, what's the need? Mm. You know, because then you want to be the controller and enjoyer. Mm. So you identify with what you feel you can control and therefore enjoy. So you call yourself by that.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So the very simple things, because then it points back as, you know, then who created that? Why is there that? Did it just happen? Why is it so all-pervading? Why is it so exact? So it's just areas no one really wants to go into. But the other three items, namely mind, intelligence, false ego, are neglected by the materialists. Mm-hmm. Philosophers who deal with mental activities are also not perfect in knowledge because they do not know the ultimate source, Krishna. Yeah, mental activities, because they're just accepting which parts of the philosophy they like and which parts they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's still mental activity.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Because the philosophy means you're creating, someone's creating a philosophy or an ideal or something.
Mm-hmm.
The intelligence is not doing it. They're very intelligent that they can see the wide range of possibilities, but it's still the mind selects what's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But how is the brain is connected, or the mind is connected at all?
It's the brain. Intelligent. How is the brain connected? It's kind of connected to the backbone. Yeah, the backbone is connected to the hip. Like that, it goes down to get the toe bone.
Would it be a seat of the mind or some mechanism?
It would be the seat of the mind. Seat incurs, it means would give the idea of flat. So like you're saying, like a hammerhead shark is, you know, the most developed as far as the seat of the mind goes, and just modern scientists haven't understood this yet. Stingray is also pretty flat.
As we evolve, we will have flat heads.
Flatter heads. No, I think as it goes, it gets bigger, you know.
Oh.
It gets
something. Yeah. At least in our space.
I think they're called the Simpsons.
So would it have a connection because of the subtle elements is kind of gross?
No, the seat's the heart. It means the soul's in the heart, Paramatma's in the heart, so the mind, intelligence, false ego are in the heart. The brain is simply the machine used by the mind and intelligence and false ego. That's all. Just like the bodily strength, the life airs use the arms to push something or pull something. But it's moving because of air. But the mechanics of it works through the muscles that are being pushed by fire. So air pushes on fire, which then pushes on the muscle. You understand? You know, which is basically made up of water. So you understand? So it's just means the desire then pushes on, you know, the air, which pushes on, you know, it just goes down until the arm moves. Does that make sense? So we're only seeing the mechanical side of it. Does that make sense?
So this, it's like, right, an interface, mechanical interface for which
mind. Yeah, and then you cover that with skin, yes. And then people think it's human. And then they get attached to it. And therefore, they are destroyed.
And they try again.
Yes. You understand? Kind of. In other words, that's the underlying thing, that people are catching some aspect of that, and therefore then they come up with all these weirdo themes. Does that make sense? We were discussing before that they come up with all these ideas that they take, this science, and then they only take part of it and put it together because they don't know the science of the soul, science of God. So they come up with all these weird things, that material energy is the cause of life. You know? But it's not. It's the soul. And then the soul's coming from God. So God's the cause of life. Does that make sense?
No?
Yeah.
Okay. The philosophers who deal with mental activities are also not perfect in knowledge because they do not know the ultimate source, right? Because mental, you accept and reject. But if you come to a conclusion, the acceptance and rejection is finished. Then it's a matter of application. So that's why these philosophers who deal with mental activities, they don't want to come to a conclusion. Because then, actually, their platform, what they call intellectual, is over. Right? Rather than now, what are the options to apply it? So they want to avoid that. The false ego, I am and it is mine, which constitute the basic principle of material existence, right? I and mine. Like that. So I am the controller and, you know, what's mine is for my enjoyment. Which constitute the basic principle of material existence, includes 10 sense organs for material activities. Right? So the false ego then includes the sense organs. So now here they put them with the sense organs with the false ego.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Though it's controlled by the mind, because it always remembers that the intelligence and the mind, I mean the intelligence and the false ego are parts of the mind. You know, I mean mind is the bigger picture and they're within categories within that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It means different elements, but it's still the mind is what controls it all.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so the mind controls what's above it, and the mind controls what's below it. Right, so in other words, the ether, air, all this means, in other words, the body, the gross body is controlled by the mind. The subtle body is controlled by the mind. Right, and because the living entity identifies with the mind, therefore we're materially involved. But the mind, you know, it's just doing what it does.
So it means we identify only with the mind, basically.
Basically, but the mind is, you know, controlling here, you know, the false ego, which then includes the senses. Right? So then the body is the senses. So the mind then controls that. Right? They work by, you have it by false ego. They're mechanically operated by the intelligence, but they're controlled by the mind, the senses.
So in Krishna consciousness, we basically work on the mind?
Always remember Krishna, never forget him. So that means the mind is accepting that absorption in Krishna is what we're looking for. Does that make sense? So we're accepting Krishna consciousness, right? Oh, and you surrender to Krishna, right? And then giving up Maya, you know, rejecting Maya. Accepting Krishna. So that's what we're trying to do, is catch the mind. But because the mind has its own idea, that's why we use so much intelligence, right, and logic to go through and show that the things that the mind has accepted and rejected are not getting us what we're looking for. We want to be happy eternally, but the choices we've made aren't actually facilitating that. You know, and so then we have to be convinced, because then something goes wrong. Oh, if we had just done this, just like you know, the guy's going down the ski slope, you know, going very nicely, everything's very great, and then somehow or another, because there was extra snow, he didn't see the rocks. It went flying over the cliff, you know, and then hit a tree. You know, St. Bernard's came out and found him, of course. And, you know, then, you know, he's, you know, there in one of those, what do you call those things? Huh? It's a kind of cast. Starts with a Minerva, I think. Minerva cast. Means full body.
Okay.
You know, like that, in traction. And then you know, when his friends come to visit, oh, wow, you know, that is bad. He says, yeah, but, you know, if I'd taken the other slope, then it would have been okay. You know what I'm saying? So instead of going, this is crazy, why am I skiing?
Yeah.
You know, he just thinks, oh, I should have taken the other slope. You know? Does that make sense? So that's what we mean by mental speculation. Is that one thing didn't work, then we think, oh, if I'd done it like this, then it would have worked. We don't think what I'm doing may be wrong. Or not important, or the principle of doing it for my own enjoyment is wrong. We just think, if I made this adjustment, then I would have been able to enjoy.
So we're failing to see the principle.
Yeah, we're failing to see the principle, which is
Krishna, in the soul. There's, you know, we're not. In other words, there's no understanding of Brahman. We don't understand. I'm not the body. I'm transcendental. So therefore, transcendental. What should I be doing with the senses and everything?
But if you see it like some weaknesses in your own self.
No, but the point is that is in the past. But it's what are you going to do now? That's called contemplation.
Okay.
The mental speculation is when you're not looking for a conclusion, really. Because the conclusion is I'll be happy. Because here, if you said, "Well, if I had fasted on that day, you know, and been more into the chanting instead of," you know, eating and sleeping and Facebook, then I would have been more Krishna conscious, because everyone else was saying what a nice festival and this and that, and I didn't think it was anything special. So, but what's the idea is that you want to please Krishna, so it's not called mental speculation. So I'm saying the faculty is the same. It's what you do with it that defines it as mental speculation or as contemplation. You know, just like the engagement of the senses, whether it's sense gratification or devotional service.
Interesting that we always end up with the same thing. With every angle we go. It
means on,
that
on the material.
The same thing that it should be looked from the, like it's the same faculty that should be used.
Yeah, because there isn't anything else, so you have to, you know.
Surrender.
Yeah, you know, it's like a... You know, if you're in solitary and you know you have one thing, let's say I give you one Incredible Hulk magazine, right? You know, comic book, you know, and you're in there for 10 years, you know, you're going to have, you know, you'll have it memorized frontwards and backwards, you know what I'm saying? When you get bored of reading it frontwards, then you'll try reading it backwards, so even upside down. You know, putting it in the mirror and looking at it in there. You know what I'm saying? You'll try different ways because otherwise it gets boring. Right? So the soul just, you know, by Krishna's grace, because Krishna is the one whose knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So he basically shows you 8,400,000 ways that you could look at it. You know? And then because you get bored as a human being just doing that, then you get to spend some time as, you know, in a more specialized, you know, how you say, lifestyle that, you know, perfectly fits that particular viewpoint. Does that make sense? You know, so like that, then it... So we keep ourselves busy.
Maharaj, it says here the... including the 10 sense organs for material activities, it seems that the working senses, the legs, the hands, the mouth, they are not directly engaged in sensual activities. So why are they mentioned as senses?
Because they do activity. The senses are doing activity. So the whole thing is about activity. Because it's through action that you either, you know, uplift yourself or degrade yourself. You know, it's through action that you become God conscious or entangled. Right? Because the whole point is in the spiritual world it's engaging your senses in the Lord's service. So it's actually goes back to all about your consciousness and the engagement of the senses.
Yeah. That's
awesome. The false ego, I am mine and it is mine. Oh, no, I am mine. How did it get that? False ego. I am, and it is mine, which constitute the. I am mine. I belong to myself. Nobody else. My mindness.
My mindness.
Yes. Which constitute the basic principle of material existence, includes 10 sense organs for material activities, right? So that's the whole point, is the activity is the thing, because they do activities. Just, you know, one is grosser, one is subtler, right? The intelligence refers to the total material creation called the Mahat Tattva, right? So the total creation means, because what is common, what is different? So that's the Mahat means it was Pradhan, So there was no distinguishing. Then with Mahat, it became distinguished.
Mm.
Right? So then this is different from that, but this has the commonality with that.
Mm.
Right? And that's perceived then through the senses.
Mm.
Therefore, from the 8 separated energies of the Lord are manifested the 24 elements of the material world, which are the subject matter of Shankya atheistic philosophy. They are originally offshoots from Krishna's energies and are separated from him. But atheistic Shankya philosophers with a poor fund of knowledge do not know Krishna as the cause of all causes. The subject matter for discussion in the Shankya philosophy is only the manifestation of the external energy of Krishna, as it is described in Bhagavad Gita. Right. So if Shankya is done right, you're analyzing the external energy so that you can understand the connection with the Lord. But if you're analyzing it and keeping it separate, then that's the atheistic. So that's what it means. The atheistic Kapila means the Shankya is not connected to the Lord. And in Kapila, the son of Devahuti, it is. Right? Especially he is the Lord, so it makes it a lot easier, right? Less steps to go through, right? You know. footnote 16. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.33, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita 7.4, the separated material energy of the personality of Godhead is covered by 8 kinds of material coverings: earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and false ego. All these are emanations from the personality of Godhead as his external energy. Right? So his external energy is there, and then within that there's the variety. Right? Just like in the spiritual energy, and then there's all the variety of the spiritual. Right? These coverings are just like the coverings of clouds for the sun. The cloud is a creation of the sun, yet it actually covers the eyes so that one cannot see the sun. Right? Because the sun evaporates the water, right? Therefore you get the cloud, and then the cloud blocks the sun. Right? But it doesn't block the sun for the sun, it only blocks for us. So Krishna, he creates the universe, but by doing that it blocks our vision of him. Right? The cloud is a creation of the sun, yet it actually covers the eyes so that one cannot see the sun. The sun cannot be covered by the clouds. The cloud can at utmost extend a few hundreds of miles in the sky, but the sun is far greater than millions of miles. So a 100-mile covering is not competent to cover millions of miles. Therefore, one of the various energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot, of course, cover the Lord. But these coverings are created by him to cover the eyes of the conditioned souls who want to lord it over the material nature. Because if someone else is the Lord, then you have to cover the actual Lord being there. You know, that's the whole. Actually, the conditioned souls are covered by the illusory creative cloud of matter, and the Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to their eyes, because they have no eyes of transcendental vision. And because they cannot see the personality of Godhead, they therefore deny the existence of the Lord in the transcendental form of the Lord. Because right? They're not granted that transcendental vision. So if one is able to appreciate it, it means it's by the Lord's grace. Right? Just as if you have fog, that's a cloud. Right? It's just quite a low cloud. How does it go away?
By the sun.
By sun. So the sun's created it, but the sun makes it go away.
Right? Nice analogy.
Yeah. You just put it in poetic form, you even have one of these like biblical verses or stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Or Upanishadic verses. Like that. So. Okay. We are done. Okay. 7.5. Besides these, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mind which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. Right, so besides these energies, then there's the jiva. The living entities belong to the superior nature of the Lord. Here it is clearly mentioned that the living entities belong to the superior nature, or energy, of the Supreme Lord. The inferior energy is matter manifested in different elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Both forms of material nature, namely gross, earth, etc., and subtle, mind, etc., are the products of the inferior energy.
The living entities who are exploiting these inferior energies for different purposes are the superior energy of the Supreme Lord. And it is due to this energy that the entire material world functions. Right? So that means it's due to jivas that the material world is functioning. Because the material energy is dead matter. What is it? It's perfectly happy being Pradhan. Right? There's no, you know, it's not like this rock really is like, you know, wanting to be in a garden, you know, especially, you know, it's just like this. It's, you know, just, it's all its life, it's just wanted to be in a garden, right? You know, and so finally now it gets the chance to come sit here. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't, it's not. So it doesn't matter. So it's because of the desire of the living entity, right? Therefore, the material world functions. You know, it's just like you have a machine, it sits there. But because you have a desire, you go up, put a coin in there, and push a button, then the machine functions. Otherwise, it just sits there. It's like the machine couldn't care less. You know, the machine's not going to drink all the drinks, you know. So it's like, you can sit there all day. What does it care? You know, it's not like, you know, you go and push the button and it's always empty. You know, call in, this one's always empty. And it says, yeah, you find out the back, there's all the empty cans, you know. Yeah, it's strange, this machine drinks all the drinks. Yeah, no, it doesn't do that. It doesn't care, it just sits there. So material energy just sits there because the living entity has desire. Therefore, there's all these transformations. Does that make sense? 14.3.4, 3-4. The total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate. Right? It's the source of birth, but it has to be impregnated. Right? Like that. So this total material substance called Brahman, in other words, the Pradhan is Brahman. Right? Then it's just a matter of the Brahman becomes separated into different elements. You know, they're all there, yes.
So this is where we're talking about unmanifest qualities and manifest qualities, or...?
Yeah. It's just it's all there, but it's not manifest. But then you manifest, when Mahat is there, it means there's intelligence, so there's distinguishing. Mm. So then there's manifestation.
So you're actually adding intelligence to Pradhan to get Mahat? Or...?
No, it's already there, but it just means that when it becomes distinguished, because otherwise it can't do something that it's not part of it.
Mm-hmm.
What's being added is the living entity's false ego and time.
Okay.
That's just being added. Okay. Means that the living entity, meaning I'm the controller and enjoyer, not the element false ego.
Mm.
You know, not the material element false ego, but the false ego, I am the controller and enjoyer. That's in consciousness, right? Mm. So that's not part of material energy.
Mm.
So because we have the false identity in our consciousness that I am the controller and enjoyer, therefore we identify with the false identities of this world, which means the body.
So we
right? Which means the senses. Yeah. Right? So when we say the body, we mean the senses. When we say engage the senses, we mean the body. You know, it's not like the devotee wants some assistance, you know, something like that. What are you going to do? Oh, we have to lift this. So then you give him your hand and say, yeah, here, you know, and then you go on doing whatever you're doing or something. Or incense is coming around, so you take your nose and you smell. You know what I'm saying?
Rarely seen.
Yeah, you know, that person stands up, you know, lend me your ear, and everyone takes off. And coughs himself, you know, so.
You can give it back tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so it doesn't. So when we say the senses, we mean the body. When we say the body, it means the senses, right? Mm. So that's the identity. That's the false ego, right? Because the false ego is manifest as the body and senses, right? The intelligence is the activity of the senses, and the mind is the central control of all of that. These are three of the four false egos.
Yeah.
Right, the fourth being I am the controller and enjoyer. Mm-hmm. Right, so those four false egos that makes up the material existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
What makes Pradhan become Mahatma?
Because the jivas enter into it with time. So time is movement. So if movement, then it.
So they were sleeping before, and then when they.
That was.
This universe existed in the shape of darkness, unperceived, destitute of distinctive marks, unattainable by reasoning, unknowable, wholly immersed, as it were, in deep sleep. That's 1.5. Where is 2? Ah. Then the divine self-existent Swayambhu himself, indiscernible, making the great elements, right, means the Mahabhutas, and the rest discernible, appeared with irresistible creative power, dispelling the darkness. So it's by the Lord's potency then. I'm getting mixed up. Because I complained the boys did. Yeah, does that make sense? Okay, I mean, this is also going on the, how do you say, the next sentence, right? Is total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the birth of all the living beings, the son of Bharata. Right? Does that make sense? No. It means you look at it that it's the natural next logical sequence of events.
That's the positive.
Yeah. Like that. So that would be the next question. Would be that. So that. Like that. You weren't here this morning, so someone else was doing that. They say the whole thing, it says, well, that's the next sentence.
Yeah.
So better to hold on. Just to wait.
No. But by asking, then there's a discussion. Otherwise, we read through so much, and you know, if someone doesn't ask, then it doesn't get discussed. So that's the whole idea of asking, is when it's discussed. But what we're saying is that it's a natural logical sequence. So if you were reading it, you'd get to there. But if you discuss it, you would get to there. So it just happens to be, since we're reading and discussing, sometimes the discussion goes farther ahead than the reading. Like this morning, you know, we hadn't even read the next points, but we had already discussed them before we got there. So this morning, we just read straight through. You know, once we actually, means it was like,
we
read, I think, one or two sentences, you know, talked for almost, I mean, an hour and maybe 55 minutes. And then in 5 minutes, we just read the rest of it, and there was no discussion like that. So we had already discussed it all before it was read. So, yeah. But the nice thing is then when you read it, then it goes, that's what it means. Yeah, yeah, so it makes it very, that's why I don't feel bad about it. And others, no, we're getting to that. No, it's just, it'll come in. Then when you do read it, it means something. Yeah. Right? So don't feel bad. Okay.
She looks okay.
Okay. It is to be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. So all birth is happening from the material nature. So we're not creating it. Material nature is creating it. But it's possible because Krishna is giving that original potency by which we can have it. Right? So the pradhan can expand because he has entered it. So therefore it works. Right? Pradhan then therefore becomes mahat. And mahat transforms into all the species and situations of life. Then Brahma manifests that through the gross and subtle elements. Right. Before that, it's just in the principle of it's manifest. So you have the whole creation, but it's on the subtle, you know, that it's actually, I think, there's a name for it. But it's subtler than earth, you know, mind intelligence of false ego. Because it's actually, you're dealing with the internal potency. Mm-hmm. But yes.
So this knowledge discussed only in the Vedas, because other scriptures they don't deal with this. Only the secondary creation.
They only deal with secondary creation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to some degree of that.
Yeah.
But that's all anybody ever deals with. But the primary, that's not dealt with. Because if the primary is understood, then that's all these trying to work out sciences on why something does what it does. That's all primary creation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they only look at the, like, dogness is not looked at. They're just what dogs do. You know, and because there's these group of 300 living types of species do basically the same thing, they're all called dogs. You know, like that. So
that's what calls prototype?
Yes, the prototype. That's the prototype. Or Prabhupada uses like the blueprints. Mm-hmm. And then Brahma as the engineer takes the blueprints and then builds it. So that means Krishna has provided the blueprints and all the ingredients. And then Brahma just builds it.
The glance of the Lord comes between Pradhan and Mahatattva.
He glances on Pradhan, and by that glance entering it, it becomes Mahatattva. Like that. So before, the golden eggs, those are just Pradhan. Like that. And then his glance, then they become Mahatattva.
No, okay. I'm trying to imagine the golden egg floating in the air.
No, not in the air, on the water. Mm-hmm. On the causal ocean. Right there. Yeah. That's been quite amazing, actually. Yeah. You don't necessarily want to have to go there to see. You
know. I can't see it from myself.
No, you can't. No, it's hard to see. Yeah. Yeah. That's why you don't see it. Yeah. Okay, everything that takes place is due to the combination of kshetra and kshetra-gya. This is an explanation of the world. Everything that takes place is due to the combination of kshetra and kshetra-gya, the body and the spirit soul. This combination of material nature and the living entity is made possible by the Supreme Lord Himself. The Mahatattva is the total cause of the total cosmic manifestation. And that total substance of the material cause, in which there are three modes of nature, is sometimes called Brahman. Right, so in this case, Krishna is calling it Brahman. So sometimes it's referred to as Brahman, but generally not. Generally, if you have the material world and then Brahman, you're talking about other forms of Brahman. Even though the material energy is also Brahman, it's one of the four forms, but it's not being generally referred to. But you say it's sometimes called Brahman. Right? Because if you're understanding as the basis of spiritual life, then it's all Brahman. If you're looking at it that material life is material illusion, therefore then you have to give up that illusion and understand Brahman. Right? But when you understand Brahman, you understand that what you were perceiving was actually Brahman anyway. Mm. Right? I think I was trying to say illusory perception.
Yeah.
The Supreme Person impregnates that Brahman with the seeds of the living entities. Like, because when you get up to that level of understanding, that consciousness, then it is, because it is Brahman, then you're able to appreciate it as Brahman. So therefore, it's on that level that the Lord's dealing. Right? So therefore, he impregnates that Brahman with the seeds of the living entities. The 24 elements, beginning from earth, water, fire, and air, are all material energy, and they constitute what is called Mahad Brahma, or the Great Brahman, the material nature. As explained in the seventh chapter, it's the great because everything's made from it, so you can perceive everything because of that. If everything was just mind, intelligence, false ego, you wouldn't see a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The material, that's where the noise goes, is because you can't see them. So they have to come and, you know, knock your lamp over or something, you know, otherwise you don't know they're there. Right? You know, there's no respect. You know, you're there and everyone ignores you. You know, it's like. The material, as explained in the seventh chapter, beyond this, there's another superior nature of the living entity.
Into the material nature, the superior energy is mixed by the will of the Supreme Godhead, and therefore, thereafter, all living entities are born of this material nature.
Right, so the jivas are then impregnated there, and so therefore, then they. Does that make sense? It's always 5 minutes
before.
Must be something he has to get back to, but he can do it in 15 minutes.
We lose a guy?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Always 5 minutes before the end of class. Okay, by the will of the Lord, then he's mixed in, so it means that's the Tathasta Shakti. So the Tathasta Shakti is able to mix these two.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise they don't mix. Mm-hmm. But by Tathasta Shakti, you can hold them together.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense? You know, so oil and water don't mix, but if you shake them up, then they basically mix. So that's, you know, so material energy is all they're shaking. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Right? So whenever it mentions senses, it says six.
Mm.
That means you're including the mind. But at the same time, the senses include the sense objects and the elements that they're manifest from. So actually, when you say six, you're actually referring to 16. Well, actually, no, 21.
Oh.
Right, because the working senses also.
Yeah.
The knowledge acquiring the working senses, the five main elements and the tanmatras, the hearing, smelling, tasting, and then the mind. So 21 is the senses, right? So that leaves you the three modes of nature. Right? So when you say the six, that's what everything's made of. It's controlled by the modes. Like that. The living entities are eternal, fragmental parts and parcel of the Supreme Lord. In this verse, the identity of the living entity is being clearly given. The living entity is the fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord eternally. And so it's being clearly given means that there's not something else. This is the identity, right? And then other aspects are details. That means that the living entity is servant of God. That's a principle. It's a detail of what kind of you serve in Vaikuntha or in Goloka, you know, and then what rasa you're in or what the individual, you know, where you're from, you know, these different things. Those are details, right? So that's why one can't function very nicely in advance in devotional service by being more and more fixed in I am servant of the Lord. Yes.
We discussed briefly a week or two ago that you can actually be Ram conscious.
Ram conscious.
Yes. There was this pious Indian lady who wouldn't have anything to do with Krishna, but Ram was.
Yeah.
So can you also be Lord Kapila conscious? Or
I mean, why not?
Yeah. So these
Krishna also incarnated as a mosquito.
Yeah, exactly.
Like so that. He came as a mosquito. Then all the demigods took forms of bees. And they all just buzzed around. And then after a few minutes of that, everyone went home. That was the pastime.
Yeah.
So therefore, you could also be Lord Mosquito.
Yes,
conscious.
And it seems a bit weak to be.
No, but the point is it's still Krishna.
Yeah.
He's weak on our side.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm trying to figure out how practically it works. You know.
Yeah, they're not necessarily the most attractive species of life. So the point is that you're God conscious. That's the point. Now, depending upon relationship, you may be attracted to one or the other, but what's being offered now is attraction to Krishna in Vrindavan, in Braja Vrindavan. So that's why it says that's never been given. That's in the whole day of Brahma, it is only one time that's given.
Okay, like that. Okay.
You know, so that means if every 4,300,000,000 years, then there's this one chance at that.
Okay, good.
So one should take advantage.
Yes.
Okay. It is not that he assumes individuality in the conditional life, and in his liberated state becomes one with the Supreme, because he's come from that platform to here, so he was already an individual before he came here. He is eternally fragmented. It is clearly said, Sanatana. According to the Vedic version, the Supreme Lord manifests and expands himself in innumerable expansions, of which the primary expansions are called Vishnu Tattva, and the secondary expansions are called the living entities. So he's still, he's expanded as. In other words, the Vishnu Tattva is the personal expansion, and the living entities are the separate expansions. Does that make sense? So through, although it's still the same person, just different moods are manifest, because depending upon the devotees and the situation. But the jivas are separated expansions, so they're separately conscious. Like that. But he's within the heart, so he's also conscious of what they... Yes? No? Yeah. Okay. So we'll continue. We're getting close.
You have one more? Short one more?
Yeah, basically like this. I think it's there, maybe it's thinner. But that was Sahotra Maharaj did on 11, the main verses. These are all verses that actually have titles.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Jaya Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jaya Chaitanya Gaura Prema.